Tomorrow is a new day. How well do you know Eleanor Duncan?
She's not to blame for anything.
She'll be hauling your harvest this year. She's going to be in charge. Dorothy Coe said nothing. The doctor's wife said,
You want us to stay out of the way?
Might be safer, Reacher said. You don't want one of these guys falling on you.
Another one coming,
the doctor called from the dining room, soft and urgent. The second guy went down exactly the same as the first, and in the same place. There was no room left to drag him forward. Reacher folded his legs at the knees so the door would close, and then he taped him up right there. The last to arrive was the guy who had broken Reacher's nose. And he didn't come alone. Chapter 52. A white SUV parked on the road beyond the fence, and the guy who had broken Reacher's nose climbed out of the driver's seat. Then the passenger door opened, and the kid called John got out. The kid Reacher had left at the depot. Go to bed, Reacher had said. But the kid hadn't gone to bed. He had hung out until he heard that things were safe, and then he had come out to claim his share of the fun. Dum, dum, dum. The hallway was almost too crowded to move. It was full of football players. Four of them, lying around like carcasses, like beached whales, limbs taped, heads flopping. Reacher picked his way around them and watched out a window. The two late arrivals were making their way past Dorothy Coe's pickup, past John's own Yukon, hustling through the damp and the cold, heading for the door, full of high spirits. Reacher opened the door and stepped out to meet them head-on. He drew his sawn off across his body, a long, high, exaggerated movement like a pirate drawing an ancient flintlock pistol, and he held it right-handed, elbow bent and comfortable, and he aimed it at the guy who had hit him. But he looked at John.
You let me down, he said.
Both guys came to a dead stop and stared at him a little more urgently than he thought was warranted, until he remembered the duct tape on his face, like war paint. He smiled and felt it pucker. He looked back at the guy who had hit him and said,
It was nothing that couldn't be fixed, but I'm not certain you'll be able to say the same.
Neither guy spoke. Reacher kept his eyes on the guy who had hit him and said,
Take out your car keys and toss them to me.
The guy said, What?
I'm bored with John's Yukon. I'm going to use your truck the rest of the day.
You think?
I'm pretty sure.
No response. Reacher said,
It's make your mind up time, boys. Either do what I tell you or get shot.
The guy dipped into his pocket and came out with a bunch of keys. He held them up briefly to prove what they were, and then he tossed them underhand to Reacher, who made no attempt to catch them. They bounced off his coat and landed on the gravel. Reacher wanted his left hand free and his attention all in one place. He looked at the guy again and asked,
So, how does your nose feel right now?
The guy said,
It feels okay. It looks like it has been busted before.
The guy said,
Two times.
Reacher said,
Well, they say three is a lucky number. They say the third time's the charm.
Nobody spoke. Reacher said,
John, lie face down on the ground.
John didn't move. Reacher fired into the ground at John's feet. The gun boomed and kicked, and the sound rolled away across the land, loud and dull like a quarry explosion. John howled and danced, not hit, but stung in the shins by fragments of gravel kicked up by the blast. Reacher waited for quiet and pumped the gun, a solid crunch, crunch, probably the most intimidating sound in the world. The husk of the spent cartridge ejected and flew through the air and landed near the car keys and skittered away. John got down on the ground. First he got on his knees, awkwardly, like he was in church, and then he spread his hands and lowered himself face down, reluctantly, like a bad-tempered coach had demanded 100 push-ups. Reacher called over his shoulder,
Doctor, bring me the duct tape, would you?
No response from inside the house.
Reacher called. Don't worry, Doctor. There won't be any comebacks. Never again. This is the last day. Tomorrow you'll be living like normal people. These guys will be unemployed, heading back where they came from, looking for new jobs.
There was a long, tense pause. Then a minute later, the doctor came out with the tape. He didn't look at the two guys. He kept his face averted and his eyes down. Old habits. He gave the roll to Reacher and ducked back inside. Reacher tossed the tape to the guy who had hit him and said, "Make it so your buddy can't move his arms or legs. Or I will, by some other method, probably including spinal injury." The guy caught the roll of tape and got to work. He wrapped John's wrists with a tight three-layer figure eight, and then he wrapped the waist of the eight in the other direction, around and around. Plastic handcuffs. Reacher had no idea of the tensile strength of duct tape in terms of engineering numbers, but he knew no human could pull it apart lengthways. The guy did the same to John's ankles, and Reacher said, "Now hog time. Join it all up." The guy folded John's feet up toward his butt and wrapped tape between the wrist restraints and the ankle restraints, four turns, each about a foot long. He squeezed it all tight and stood back. Reacher took out his wrench and held it up. There was a little blood and hair on it from the previous two guys. He dropped it on the ground behind him. He took out his switchblade. He dropped it on the ground behind him. He took out his Glock pistol. He dropped it on the ground behind him. Then he turned and laid the sawn off next to it. He shrugged out of his coat and let it fall. It covered all four weapons. He looked at the guy who had hit him and said, "Fair fight. You against me. Second string Nebraska football against the U.S. Army. Bare knuckles. No rules. If you can get past me, you're welcome to use anything you can find under my coat." The guy looked blank for a second, and then he smiled a little, as if the sun had come out, as if an unbelievable circumstance had unveiled itself right in front of him, as if a hole had opened up in a tight defense, as if suddenly he had a straight shot to the end zone. He came up on his toes and angled his body and bunched his right fist up under his chin and got ready to lead with his left. Reacher smiled too, just a little. The guy was dancing around like the Marquis of Queensbury. He had no idea. No idea at all. Maybe the last fight he had seen was in a Rocky movie. He was 6'7 and 300 pounds, but he was nothing more than a prize ox, big and dumb and shiny, going up against a gutter rat. A 250-pound gutter rat. The guy stepped in and bobbed and weaved for a minute, up on his toes, jiggling around, ducking and diving, wasting time and energy. Reacher stood perfectly still and gazed at him, wide-eyed with peripheral vision, focusing nowhere and everywhere at once, hyper-alert, watching the guy's eyes and his hands and his feet. And soon enough, the left jab came in. The obvious first move for a right-handed man who thought he was in a boxing ring. Any guy's left jab followed the same basic trajectory as his straight left, but much less forcefully, because it was powered by the arm only, snapping out from the elbow with no real contribution from the legs or the upper body or the shoulders, no real power. Reacher watched the big pink knuckles getting closer, and then he moved his own left hand, fast, a blur, whipping it in and up and out like a man flailing backhanded at a wasp. And he slapped at the inside of the guy's wrist, hard enough to alter the line of the incoming jab, hard enough to deflect it away from his face and send it buzzing harmlessly over his moving shoulder. His shoulder was moving because he was already driving hard off his back foot, jerking forward, twisting at the waist, building torque, hurling his right elbow into the gap created by turning the guy counterclockwise an inch, aiming to hit him with the elbow right on the outer edge of his left eye socket, hoping to crack his skull along the line of his temple. No rules. The blow landed with all 250 pounds of moving mass behind it. A solid, jarring impact Reacher felt all the way down to his toes. The guy staggered back. He stayed on his feet. Evidently, his skull hadn't cracked.
but he was feeling it. He was feeling it bad, and his mouth was opening, ready to howl, so Reacher shut it again for him with a vicious uppercut under the chin, convulsive, far from elegant, but effective. The guy's head snapped back in a mist of blood and bounced forward again off his massive deltoids, and Reacher tried for his other eye socket with his left elbow, a ferocious in-and-out snap from the waist, and then he put a forearm smash from the right into the guy's throat, a real home-run swing, and then he kneed him in the groin and danced behind him and kicked him hard in the back of the knees, a sweeping, scything action so that the guy's legs folded up under him and he went down heavily on his back on the path. 6 blows. 3 seconds. No rules. Second string Nebraska football against the U.S. Army.